Okay, let's open our Bibles. Gospel of John, chapter 15. I apologize for the delay. That's only happened one other time.
What's that?
That I forgot my notes.
Oh, at least once or twice.
Once or twice, yeah. And then right there on the kitchen table when I walked out and had my briefcase and put it down. I don't know what for, but anyway, I apologize for that. And let's get into our study. Let's prepare ourselves by prayer. Now, Father, we thank you so much that you are a God that we can pray to. You have set up various conditions of our prayer. Must pray in the power of the Spirit. Must pray according to your plan. But tonight, Father, we come across an unusual passage that whatever we desire, you'll grant. That's a pretty powerful statement. But it does come with conditions. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see that will affect our prayer life. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Gospel of John 15, verse 7. And we have two conditions of prayer given here. And behind one of them is in the power of the Spirit. Well, maybe even behind both of them, because they both depend on the filling of the Spirit. So, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, those are the two conditions we have. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be granted to you. So, we've dealt with the introduction to all of this, and we take up tonight and looking at my words abide in you. Now, from 2 John 1:9, which we spend a couple hours on, which is well worth it, powerful passage, 2 John 1:9, continue in his teaching. Continue daily, continue hourly, continue in his teaching, his doctrine. So the question arises, what does it mean to continue in his doctrine, in his teaching? Is it mean 7 times a week, 2 times, 4 times, 5 times a week, 1 a week, 2 times a month, 3 times, 4 or 5 times a month? And we could also take it up, how does his word abide in us? Is it going to abide in us if we listen to gospel music? Different types of teachers and or preachers and TV and radio. What does it mean, his word abide in you? Now, we get an idea, just a little idea of what God has in mind here, and I will preface this by saying, don't fool around with God. God, I think if we do this once a week, once a month, that'd be enough. Now, I want to watch this TV program every week, and I want to watch this TV program, and I want to do this, and I want to read that, but I'll fit you in. maybe an hour a week, hour a month, so to have your word abide in me. But I got too much of the world that I need abiding in me. And people don't pay any attention to how much time they spend on TV, but they do spend pay attention to how much time they spend in listening to the teaching of His Word, or abiding in His Word, reading His Word, and studying His Word. And they don't have much time for that. So what does God have in mind? Having His Word abide in you and continue in His Word, as the 1 John passage brought out. Let's look at Deuteronomy 8:3. I think this is right where we closed last week, but we'll pick up that momentum, even though we're running a little late. Deuteronomy 8:3, just to get an idea of what does it mean to continue in His teaching. And Deuteronomy 8:3 says like this: "And he humbled you, and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that you might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." Wow, that's kind of powerful if we let it be a guide. If we want to get some idea, how long do we continue in this teaching? Well, let's say a person eats three times a day. That just gives you an idea of what kind of abiding in His Word we should do. And so we at least eat once a day. And so this gives us an idea of what He means. Be meditating, to continuing in His Word, that His Word may abide in us. We have a saying that you are what you eat. Now, my friend Rod Richmond, that a lot of you know, down in Houston, he and I, being purists, we like to say, you are what your system will digest. Not what you eat, but what your system will digest. That's what you are. So, but the ideal is that it gets in there and it abides in us. So, got to keep that momentum going. Look at Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, verse 4, picks up the same ideal on giving us a hint of what does it mean to continue in the teaching of Jesus Christ. Matthew 4, 4, "But he answered and said, it is written, man should not live," and we just read where it's written, it's in Deuteronomy, "man should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And this just takes us to so many different places. That's one of the enjoyments of, to me, of being married, is to have someone to just share with how, what a joy it is to study the Bible. And like last night, we're in Genesis 6, and looking at when the invasion of planet Earth, or genetic invasion by the fallen angels, and all of the wonders that go with that. And then tonight we're looking at prayer. Sunday morning we're looking at the Romans passage and dealing with one sentence and how much is in that. This book is just amazing. And I can just tell you, and I'm not being SR about this, because I know that you work and you have your own life, but virtually every day I'm in the Word, and that's just not near enough for me. There's just so much to see. There's so much to enjoy. I just mean enjoy. Not even really thinking of it in the spiritual, theological level, but just in causing your mind to have to think and to see and to understand and to learn things. This book is just amazing. The older I get, the more I wonder at the greatness and the depth of things that are in this book. One more passage. Let's look at Luke 4. Luke 4. Dr. Luke. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. "And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And you go back at verse 1, and Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. So we have those two things so closely related, living on the Word and the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit and Bible doctrine, the doctrine of the teachings of Christ. And for doctrine, or this truth, to abide in you, you have to live doctrine. You have to continue to have it, staying in it, teaching it. It's not something that's inside of us. It's out here. It's in this book. And we have to take it and let it get inside of us. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is what you have to realize is going on. You have to listen. Keep on listening to the Word of God. And you have to really listen all the time. And this is what God has intended. And this is what He gave us this book for, and gave us the local assembly for. And not just for one time a week, and 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people come and sing and get some little emotional message, but to abide in this Word, live in the teaching of it, understanding it, asking questions, and putting this and putting that together, and wondering about this and wondering about that. And enjoyed, is it Nate? Nate, Hazel's fiance, he's just blown away with what we're seeing on Tuesday night with the classical Greek mythology and the different things that are going on in that. And these are the wonders of this book. It just deals with everything, unlike the Muslim book and the Hindu book and the Buddhist book and any other book that is on earth. There's just no book written like this, and by so many different people, and yet so full. So, I'm not going to become a legalist and set numbers of times a day or a week. You got to daily do it. I'm not going to get involved in that. I was involved in that, and it turned into legalism. Instead of just a hunger, just turn into legalism. Got to do that. Got to be there. And but I will just exhort you, be careful with fooling around with God. Don't fool with God. Since doctrine abiding in you is dependent, and your prayer life is dependent upon doctrine abiding in you, you pray daily, I hope. So if you pray daily, you would want that daily influence of that doctrine and abiding in Christ and the doctrine abiding in you, so that it will affect even your prayer life. And that's what it'll do. That's what we have in this passage when we complete the whole thing and put it all together. This is what we have. So I don't think even once a week is nearly enough. Just try eating once a week. You might lose some weight, and then you get into trouble after that. You get your body into trouble, get into danger. Just eat once a week. That's not healthy for the way that God put our body together. So most people in America watch TV well over an hour a day, or else they're doing their electronic stuff well over an hour a day, not having to do with work, just do their life. But boy, to say you need to sit down and listen and study the Word and let it grow inside of you, oh no, you're a little weird. You're fanatical. Well, we do need to be fanatical. Need to be fanatical about the Word. And that's all there is to it. I people in our own church, people that are wonderful, they just have certain nights, not just one night a week, but each night they have just certain things they've got to watch on the TV, some program, some series, some this, some that. But boy, to sit down and study God's Word? No, you can't do that. Don't have that kind of time. And that's a danger. That's a danger. And I think there's one reason that we do not see in our society the results of prayer, like in John 15:7. And we're going to find out what that means, and how if you abide in Him and His Word abiding in you, I'm going to show you how that will affect your prayer life. It will affect what you pray for. So this is very important. And so maybe we should be fanatics about this book and this Word. And I mentioned it in my past. It was just that it came to the point where it just became legalistic. It doesn't have to. You can just go every night and to the assembly one of the most wonderful things that we have in our society right now is where you can go to an assembly. Now, you take America back 100 years or so. It was too far, and the transportation and all that when you lived out in the agriculture and this kind of thing. But it's accessible now, and it's accessible electronically, where a person could actually study the Word every day and grow and have it abiding in you. People, if you continually take in and you're continually thinking something, it's going to influence everything in your life. It's a byproduct. It's a byproduct of listening to the Word. It just, pretty soon you just, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to think that. I don't want to do, I want to do this and I want to do that. And it's just a byproduct if you're constantly listening to the Word, as the First John passage says. Just something that will start happening in our souls, in our lives. You'll see that influence start taking place. All right, and then he says the second condition, or the second, and my words abide in you. And it's a great second great issue in regard to prayer. First, the believer, truly in the power of the Holy Spirit, in order for the Word to abide. So here we start off with, how many people know how to be filled with the Spirit? In America, let's just stay with America, not even deal with the world. How many know? I suspect not very many. So how are you going to have the Word abiding in you if you don't even know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You're not. You're not. And I'm afraid that a lot of people are studying the Bible like some people study Shakespeare. And there are people who just study Shakespeare every day. Man, they just spend their life and compare this, compare that. Look for the times that Shakespeare uses this word and that phrase. I got a couple of books and where they just do that. They phrases that are used by Shakespeare, how many times and different subject matters are broken down. And they thoroughly enjoy that. But that's all in the flesh, in the mind of the flesh. That's how many people study the Bible. You've got to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. People, that's mystical. That's weird. We can't experience that. I believe I'm filled with the Spirit when I trust Him. And I know He's leading. I know He's opening my mind and my eyes. It's just amazing how these things work. Might be shocked at the number of preachers, Bible teachers, books, radio, and TV that are not teaching the truth of Scripture. It's got to be taught in truth, too. You can't just study. When I was in seminary, we studied men who had bookcases filled with books that they had written. They never understood the gospel. And yet we had to read some of that stuff in seminary. I would ask the bar, why are we reading? Oh, we go there, blah, blah, blah. Bible, babble, babble. It's weird. So you can study this book and not see the truth. You can study it like you study Shakespeare and not see the truth. So it's having the truth taught, having the Word taught in truth. And the proof of this, not always, starts with the truth of the gospel. Do they understand the gospel? Do they understand correctly how to be saved? Most people add works, add do something. You can lose it, all kinds of things. And they may even use the word faith and grace, but what do they mean by faith and grace? And all these type of things. So it's not just making yourself available to a teacher, but is that teacher teaching the truth? That teacher teaching what is the truth about these things? And there's just not very many that are doing that. So it's really difficult to find men gifted by God teaching the truth on these things. And so if you're not listening to the truth of doctrine, then people, it's not going to abide in you. It can't abide in you. Cannot. You're listening to is not the truth, then the truth of doctrine of Christ cannot abide in you. And this is greatly complicates your prayer life. You may pray a lot, but not heard by God. So if you're not abiding in Christ by the filling of the Spirit, by faith, if the truth is not abiding in you, you're not listening to where it is taught, then people, it's going to affect your prayer life. That's what this verse is about. It's going to affect your prayer life. It's amazing, maybe even shocking, how few are abiding in Christ and how few in the world have doctrine abiding in them. It's just very, very few. And that's just the hard facts of why the world is the way it is today. Now look at the second part. Whatever you desire, whatever you wish. And we have three rules of interpretation of Scripture. Context, context, context. What is the context of this? Whatever you wish or desire. What is the context? The context is bearing fruit. The context is bearing fruit. This is what is important to Jesus Christ. Now, something that we're having coming up, look into John 15 a month, but I want you to look down with me just to show you what's coming up with all of this. Verse 8. Look at verse 8. What is going to be the effect of bearing fruit, His Word abiding in you, and answered prayer? Abiding in Him and bearing the fruit. By this, my Father glorified. People, this is how we're going to glorify God the Father. By production of fruit. And how are we going to do that? It's going to be by abiding in Christ, having His Word abide in you, and an effective prayer life. Now it says, what you wish, what you desire. People, that depends on what's going on in your soul. What you wish, what you desire, depends on what's going on in your soul. And what's going on in your soul depends on whether or not you're abiding in Christ and whether or not His Word is abiding in you. That's going to have a great impact on what's going on in our life. What we wish, what we desire, has to do with our life. If we live our life in the flesh, boy, it's always going to be, well, I wish I had a better car. I wish I had a better house. I wish I had a better this. I wish I had a better husband. I wish I had a better wife. I wish I had a wife. I wish I was single. It's all related to the flesh thing. If that's where we're living. But if we're living and having His Word abide in us, people, you can't imagine the influence that's going to make. The influence that's going to make in your life. I'm going to show you some verses in a little bit, but it's going to have a great influence over sin. I just don't want to do this sin because of what it'll influence wrongly what I'm doing in my head here, what I've got abiding in my head. And I'm going to use the example that a guy's dating, just real quickly, if we're going to guy's dating, you know, lots of different girls, and this gal, he likes her because she does this, and he dates this gal because she likes to, she's very sporty, and he dates this gal, she's intellectual, dates her, just dating a lot. Then all of a sudden he meets this one gal. And he says, you know, I just want to spend my time with her. So without him even knowing it, there are things that are happening in his life. He's starting to not be with all these other people. He's starting not even to wanting to be with them. And when he does that, he starts occupying his thoughts with her, his time with her. And so there are a lot of things that he's not even aware is going on. Hey, why don't you date old Sally Shoestring anymore? Well, I really don't know. I just want to be with this gal. And that's what happens, people, when we let His Word abide in us, and we abide in Christ. So what you wish, what you desire, depends on what's going on in your soul, what's going on in your life. Now, point one, what does Jesus Christ desire? What does Jesus Christ desire? Believers bearing fruit. Two, so if you abide in Christ, and His Word abides in you, you will also desire to bear fruit. Three, don't answer this. Pretend like you're upstairs where they're playing Texas Hold'em. Just play poker. When's the last time you prayed in regard to bearing fruit? When's the last time I prayed in regard to bearing fruit? Four, another question. Why? Why is bearing fruit so important to Jesus Christ? Answer, verse 8, which we just read. Should have waited till now. Verse 8. Bearing fruit glorifies the God the Father. And this is what Jesus Christ is about. Jesus Christ is about glorifying His Father. Going to the cross. Now you are glorified. Now what? Now that I'm dying on the cross. You're glorified. This was predominant in our Savior's mind. If you abide in Him, it'll be predominant to us. His Word abiding in you. This is the direction of all of His Word. The glorification of the Father. How is the Father glorified? Abiding or bearing fruit. That's just one. Not the only way, but that's one way in which He is glorified. So let's take a look now. I want to look at some of the verses in dealing with the Word abiding in you. Now, first of all, let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and I'd like you to look with me at verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word I have treasured in my heart. Okay, it's abiding in you. It's what you treasure. The more you abide in the word, the more you treasure the word. Why? That I may not sin against thee. So one of the important things about abiding, having His Word abide in you, people, it will affect your sin life. You don't have to, I don't want to sin, I want to be good, and you keep thinking, that's what legalists do. And legalists like to make a big deal about it. People, when His Word is abiding in you, just don't have the desire to sin. Don't have that desire anymore. So verse 11, thy word I have treasured in my heart. That is the abiding of the word in you. That I may not sin against thee. Now Romans chapter 3 on Sunday morning, we're looking at justification. We're getting ready to look at sin. Sin is the whole one of the main reasons we need justification. And sin has an effect on our personal life. What's one of the ways to knock it out? His Word abiding in you. What I'm showing you is just so many different things happen when His Word abides in you. It's kind of always on your mind. You're always saying, I wonder, you know, in this passage it says this, and in that passage it says that, or the preacher said this, and I wonder about that. And every now and then, John will come up to me, and I go, oh no, he's been thinking again. You, John Harvey. No, John Harvey. And he'll, you know, he's looked at this verse and that verse, and I don't mind that at all. I love that. People are biting in the Word, and it just, you know, wait a minute, this, what about that, and this, and this, and this, and this. And I have to do that. So, how important is it to God that you and I have this doctrine of Christ in us? Look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Okay, we'll just start at verse 1. I will give thee thanks with all my heart. All my heart doesn't mean, boy, it's fervent. It means all the areas of my heart, my desires, my thoughts, all these things that go on, our memory center, and these things in our soul. With all my heart, I will sing praises to thee before the gods. I will bow down toward the holy temple and give thanks to your name for thy love and thy doctrine, thy truth. Look what it says now. How important his doctrine is to God. For thou hast magnified thy word Now the New American Standard says, according to all thy name, or above all thy name. Either one is fine. Either one. I have no problem with according to all that you are, all that we know about you, or even above your name. I think according to fits the whole context better. But if you're familiar with the King James, above thy name, that's fine. But I believe that according to all that is in your name, it's how much you love your word. So that's how much this is important to God. And what's important to God should be important to us. What's important to our parents should be important to the child. What's important to our husband should be important to the wife. What's important to the wife should be important to the husband. What's important to God should be important to us. Okay, now let's look at another passage, Proverbs 3. And people, boy, I'm not going to go through an elaborate list here. That'd just be take us for a long, long time. But just picking out some of the more notable ones that make it so clear and so wonderful how important having His Word abide in us is. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Do not let kindness and doctrine, truth, the truth of doctrine, leave you. Bind them around your neck. This is a Jewish concept. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart. That's how you abide in the Word, or have the Word abiding in you. You write it down in there, and it's written, and it will not leave inside our souls. Look at Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. Heed 33-36. Heed instruction. What does that mean? That's the doctrine that instructs us in life. Heed instruction and be wise. People, you can be wise in the world, or you can be wise in biblical understanding. Heed instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Do not neglect it. Do not neglect it daily in your life. That's how often do we continue in the teaching of Christ. Blessed, listen to this now. Blessed is the man who listens to me, who listens to the truth. He's blessed. You're blessed by having it. You glorify God. You produce you bear the fruit that He desires. So many things happen. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. What is that talking about? Waiting for the teaching, waiting for the opening of the gates so that you can come in and listen. For he who finds me, that's the truth of doctrine, finds life. There's the meaning of life. People, it's not in some TV series. It's not in the computer game. It's in the Word abiding inside of us. For he who finds me finds life and obtains grace from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. Now, what's the context here of sinning against him? Staying away from the teaching. Not abiding in the Word. Not having the Word abide in you. All those who hate me love death. Me here being the biblical truth. Now, just another one is Hosea chapter 6, one of the minor prophets. Let's find Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6. Listen. There's that word now. We talked about it last week. Listen. And then the saddest words in the Bible, but they would not listen. And that describes our country. Describes the condition of the church. Not just the unbelieving country, but the condition of the church. Don't want to listen. to the teaching of the Word. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness, or kindness, or knowledge of God in the land. Well, if there's not any knowledge of God, then we understand why there's no kindness and why there's no faithfulness. Verse 2. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. What's going on? This is what's going on in their heart. This is what's abiding in their heart. They want this. They want that. They'll kill to get it. They don't care if the person's married. All these types of things. That's all I want. Because that's what's in your soul. That's what's abiding in there. If His Word is not abiding, then it's going to be the thoughts of the flesh. Verse 3. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beast of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet no one find fault, and let none offer reproof. For your people are like those who contend with the priest. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night. The prophet's not teaching the truth. This is talking about all these false teachers and Bible teachers and preachers and all evangelists. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for the lack of what people? The lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge. Not because of their sins, but because of their lack of knowledge. They don't have an understanding of the truth, so it's going to destroy them. The truth would keep you from being destroyed. But if you don't have it, you're not going to prevent the being destroyed. Because you have rejected knowledge. The lack of knowledge, why do they have lack of knowledge? They've rejected knowledge. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be where the truth is taught. I also will reject you from among my priests. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. So these are the things that are going on. And we got just a minute or two, okay? I know it's just a little bit, but just give me a few more minutes. I ran a little late getting here and writing my notes. Let's look at Psalm 86 for a moment. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. David longs for doctrine to abide in him. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. I'll walk in your doctrine, your understanding. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Have awe, a maximum awe of his name. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify thy name forever. Now what glorifies him? Bearing fruit. That's what we're saying in John 15. Verse 13, for thy love toward me is great. And people, one thing that when you abide in his word, another thing that begins to happen, you begin to see just how much he does love us. You begin to see how totally depraved we are and all those things we studied that he did, born from above, born again, and now we're looking at justification, propitiation, all these things that he did. Wow, how much you love. How much you love. And when you look at how someone loves you, it causes you to love them. And thou hast delivered me, verse 13, for thy love toward me is great, and thou hast delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, which we're studying on Tuesday night. So, from the disasters and pressures of things that have gone on in life. And one more passage, Then we'll close. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Start reading in verse 12. 2 Peter 1:12. Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things. This is Peter speaking to the Peter believers. Even though you already know them and have been established in them, in the truth, which is present with you. For I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. In other words, repeating these things. Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you may be able to call these things to mind. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word made, more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. God, at His blessing, the reading of His Word. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Thy Word have I treasured in my heart. How do we build up that treasure? By listening to Your Word. By abiding in it and then having it abide in us. So, Father, we pray now You'll take the things that we've seen briefly here tonight, make them become a reality in our soul and in our lives, in our homes, our marriages, our works, our single life, whatever, that we may glorify You in our life. This was foremost in Christ's thought, that it become foremost in our thought, that we're here to glorify You. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.